Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. Today we're joined again by Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. Welcome back, Colin. How's things?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Very excited to read, obviously, the latest RNS that came out. I think it was the 31st of May. Talked about the Ascot Prospect Drill Results Summary. I think to date you'd done, there was 12 diamond drill holes for about 8,500 meters have been completed. And then obviously results have been released for the six holes. Do you want to talk us through some of those results?
I guess you can never talk about anything in a massive porphyry like we've got in isolation. So race course seems to be about it now. I think we understand. I think we've kind of cut it off to the northwest and the north, and I think that we've cut it off to the south. So that pit seems to be defined and is ready for modelling. It will be the classic situation, like quite a few porphyries, which will have an high-grade component, and that high-grade component will be made up of gold and copper. And obviously that should, in the next first 5 or 6 years, pay off all the cost of the infrastructure. And then you've got a huge pit, I don't know, 600 meters deep, 150 meters wide, by about 1.5 to 2 kilometers. And when we don't know until the modeling's finished, as a 20 times 10, 25 times 10, 25 times 25, you know, but certainly the big order porphyry open pit, we've found one, in our opinion, we've found one. And I mentioned before that might send us doing a near surface program, because the gold is certainly there. And if we can extend 4 to 6 years to 8 years of high grading as the pit is developed, all the better. What we did find at Racecourse was that there was a, shall we say, hole in the model, you know, a kind of an area where not enough drill hole information to complete the model. So we're going to fire two holes down into that, because I think that's highly necessary. You don't want holes in the model and dependency on something what might not be there, or indeed is better than you think it is. So we're going to correct that. That's only two holes at the most. Does it continue? Does it continue from the south all the way to Ascot? Yes, it does. I'm pretty absolutely sure it does. Is the grade of the sufficient volume to even make things, you know, that you can connect Ascot and Racecourse? Never thought you could connect Ascot and Racecourse, because the different chemistry, different everything. There's continuous mineralization, but I doubt whether that will be the right mineral, you know, the high enough mineralization to include it. And I think the nature that the ore body presents themselves, Ascot will be a different proposition anyway. Isn't it exciting that pure gold result with no copper as we go south? That was a bit of an edge scratcher, but not so much of an edge scratcher when you start interrogating the model again, you know, because when you put this into the model, start drawing your deductions, projecting faults, etc., you start to understand. And boy, it was well received, was that gold. And we still think the porphyry is down there below, because the kind of mineralization style and the lithology that the gold presented itself in was big sheets and shoots of gold, which is very, very Cadia Ridgeway like. So, you know, I try not to get excited, because this is a huge, huge porphyry system. I mean, you know, the more you look at the geophysics, the more those geophysics are plotted, the more you say, crikey, this is, you know, this is a very big system. And the geophysicist commented about the, you know, the quality, the strength of the geophysics close to surface is unusual for the Lachlan Fold. Represents some of the strongest geophysics they've seen. The metallurgy results will be released soon. They're okay. They're fine. They're consistent with the area. That's good. You see that we've all of a sudden got this moly, you know, quite high values of moly coming in, which again suggests that the chemistry is totally different to Racecourse. You've had this sole gold and no copper with the moly. That's interesting in its own rights. And so we've got two big anomalies, and of course foot rock to the south. So this is getting really, really big. And I'm so glad that we did the round of geophysics. You might say it's given you more targets. You might say that it's made it multi-optional. When are you going to stop drilling? But of course, I think we all know that if we can actually prove mineralization throughout this system, we make the old project more valuable, more valuable, more valuable. And I'm not talking, you know, I do see some comment about, oh, we're going into a massive new drilling program. That's not the case. And we're just knocking off a few excite, shall we say, typical to Racecourse, typical to Ascot type anomalies, just to see where they fit in the entire equation. You know, you'd think after 40 holes, we'd, you know, but I guess the layman would say after 40 holes, surely they fully understand what it's all about. After 40 holes, you're still scratching the thing. So we're very, very, very pleased with what we've got. But at the same time, the more we do, the more we understand, the more we model, the more we understand, and the more we begin to recognize, just like Cadia. Cadia is not one deposit. Cadia is multiple deposits. But the more we are of the belief that we found the biggest system that's other than Cadia, of course.
Yeah.
Been found in the Lachlan Fold. And if you use Bowder as our comparator, we bode well, so to speak. So yes, upwards and onwards, and the modeling's coming to an end. This phase two drill program's coming to an end, and we'll be able to inform the market where we are.
I mean, just moving away from Australia for a minute and moving on to some of the African projects, namely the Manica project. And I think that there was a statement at the end or the last update was in January, where you talked about the quarter ended 31st of December was the best period for production since you commenced the gold mining. Do you want to just talk about how things are progressing down at Manica?
Yeah, we've been beset by rains. We've not had a shabby quarter. That's got to be announced yet. I am so scared of hiccups here and there that I do not, as a rule, make any prophecy on when the Fairbride is going to start up. But suffice it to say, everything's in place. The overburden's been stripped up for the first access. We've got low-grade stockpiles. We've got high-grade stockpiles. Water's been run through the system. They've had all the conveyor belts run up. Low-grade muck has been introduced to the system. And I am confident for a Manica startup in the next few days. That's the Fairbride, of course. The alluvials, of which we've got a 23% stake, the alluvials continue as always. And I'm very optimistic again, now the rains have gone. And we're, you know, Boa Esperanza is proving to be quite good. The Guy Fawkes contribution is getting better. So
yeah.
I'm very bullish. You know, we had a conversation about gold, the three of us in a different life. But I'm very, very bullish that we'll be cracking out quite a lot of gold by August.
Yeah, I mean, Empress Executive, David Rhodes, was recently recorded at a conference, and he did mention that three projects and confirms that Manica should be in production in a couple of weeks. So that was an interesting statement.
That was a very interesting statement. As I've said, that our market doesn't forgive. And I basically, when I see the first gold bar in my hands, Manica has started.
That's right. Send it over to us, Colin.
Just to prove
it's real.
Free samples all around. And you do realize, you know, I think once again, the layman doesn't realize, you know, that when you run these things up, the gold finds every nook and cranny in the system. And it probably takes 6 weeks for it, to fill up all the little cracks and spaces. And then we'll start getting towards... We've had a few nice surprises, by the way, that as we've been stripping, that just, you know, outside the defined ore body, there's been some material of about 1.3, which is very nice and wasn't in the schedule, but is there for us to put through the plant. And you never fill the plant with the high-grade material, even though we're starting at a pretty high-grade place. So this peripheral stuff will be very useful for running up the plant. But I'm usually optimistic now for Fairbride. I have to give all credit to our partners. They've done a super job in a very difficult place under very difficult conditions. And we're late. I know we're late. Apologies, market, for that, because nobody plans to be late. But I think that patience will be rewarded. I really think patience will be rewarded. And I look forward to getting 23% of anywhere between 85 and 100 kilograms. I look forward to our alluvials continuing for another year at around about 25 to 35 kilograms. So that's going to be quite a cash contributor to the group.
Yeah, financial. I mean, how much cash do you think is going to be coming in each month from the different ones? I mean, obviously, there's already money coming in.
If everything, you know, I'm not allowed in these discussions to make forward statements. But if you do the sums, it's anywhere between 600 and 800. Well, six hundred to about $900,000 per month. That's the sort of surplus of income over expenditure one should be looking at today's gold price, at the forecasted.
So you're basically talking $7 to $10 million US a year is basically 12, what
let's shall we say the mid there. So yeah, about eight and a half to ten, you know. So, notwithstanding our copper operations, of course, in Zambia, you know, we're getting some out of Chongwe and Eureka. We've cleared out the water. The rains have piped up, and so we've got the first bench. We're blasting the first bench. So again, that should be a contributor.
So I think the point I've made before when we've talked about these things is that I see Extract with what you have as producing mines is worth the market cap on its own already. Okay, but a £41 million market cap, and you're probably going to have somewhere between $8 and $10 million of EBITDA, or you know, profit, if you like, if inverted commas. What's happening in Australia? You're drilling these extra few holes, and then we're going to go, because obviously this has been delayed. We were talking about going to talk to different parties, including AA, about a sale. So how far have we pushed this back now, do you think?
Oh, well, you know, you're talking months, not, you know, I don't really want to get into the sales discussion, because I think to try and conduct negotiation on a podcast in this sort of platform is very, very dangerous. We're being watched. Everybody knows who's interested, knows what the Lachlan Fold Racecourse Bushranger project is. It's verification. It's value add opportunities. And quite frankly, you know, you don't play poker by sticking your cards on the front of the Daily Mail, you know, and your
basically, what we're saying here is that you know, it's all on course. Be patient.
Yeah, that's right. You know, that I see that, you know, that end of May we're supposed to have a sale. You know, life doesn't work like that, because there's two parties to a sale. And you've got to remember that every podcast we get, every couple of months what goes by, this thing grows. And yeah, this latest round of geophysics has shown that we have got an absolutely huge system. And you know, at Cadia, you know, and I think even at North Parks, you know, they were drilling one place and fired a couple of holes down somewhere, and all of a sudden their world changed. Literally every hole in one of these big porphyry systems is an adventure, Kevin. Every hole is an adventure. You know, I don't think, you know, probably only a few days have gone past where I haven't rung up. And I did today, prior to this, rung up and said, what's going on? Where are we? How's it looking? What are we seeing? And then we get a new report, and well, this has happened, and that fault looks like it's over there, and we feel that we've got to actually reorientate here. And then how's the model going? Oh, well, the model's showing this, the model's showing that. And, you know, the amount of reiteration, what's going on is in terms of all the inputs, and we've got some experts around this one. The amount of reiteration on a daily basis against results is quite extraordinary, because when you're in a big system and you're trying to understand it, it presents you with opportunities you didn't expect, presents you with challenges you didn't want. And so when you say how late are we or how early are we, we're literally talking, we're not late, because everything's been positive. The modeling's going as we liked. The metallurgy work is going and has proved that it's pretty consistent with the area.
To be honest, Colin, I mean, it all sounds like things are moving well, you know, in terms of, you know, there's a lot going on in site. And really, as we've said it before, it's the hardest skill for a trader to master is patience. And I'm sure it'll pay dividends if that comes in. But I think we should wrap it up there at this note and say thanks very much, Colin Bird, Executive Chairman of Extract Resources. Thanks for your time.
And can I just have one little say, though? Yeah. The market basically might be very unhappy about a couple of months, but they'd be a lot more unhappy if this ore body was sold, and then there's an announcement 6 months later that another Cadia Ridgeway has been found.
Sure.
Because we've got big anomalies which we've not even smelt, let alone drill tested. Patience is a virtue, and patience is so difficult in what is the worst market that I have known in my entire career. Patience isn't easy, and I just ask our shareholders hang in there, because we're on something, and we, you know, as you say, even the production justifies the market cap.
On that note, Colin Bird, Chairman of Extract Resources, thanks very much for your time.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.